LifeNet Radio, WCCR, and Rutgers Camden do not necessarily agree with, believe in, or endorse anything you will hear in this episode. LifeNet Radio number 530, the WCCR premiere of the show, now begins.
Good evening, folks. Once again, as we do on LifeNet Radio quite a bit, especially on this WCCR premiere of LifeNet Radio, we have a very serious issue to deal with, and that is the fact that in Pennsylvania, the legislators are having so much trouble coming up with a budget that funds are drying up all over the place, not only for people who are working in commercial establishments, not only for little mom-and-pop businesses and, you know, all those you hear about most commonly, but one thing that you may not be hearing quite so much about is nonprofit organizations. They are really having one devil of a time of it. We're going to be talking to a couple of executive directors of organizations like that, and we're going to give you an opportunity to take action. We're talking first with Amanda Bergson-Shilcock of the Welcoming Center for New Pennsylvanians. So how is it affecting you guys?
Well, thank you for that introduction, and this really is quite a remarkable issue for all of us who live here in Pennsylvania. We're lucky in the Philadelphia area, especially that so many of us are employed in the nonprofit sector, working at hospitals, working at colleges and universities, or working like I do at a small community-based nonprofit. The challenge is that even though we have a diversified funding stream and we do all these things that everyone recommends that you do so that all your eggs aren't in one basket, when we have a situation as we have now, we're on day 49 of the state budget crisis. The governor and the legislature have been unable to come to an agreement on a budget for the state of Pennsylvania, and that means nobody's getting paid. So organizations like mine that have state contracts, as of July 1st, the invoices that we send out for those contracts aren't getting paid by the state of Pennsylvania, and federal funding, which flows through the state of Pennsylvania, has also been frozen by the governor. What that means is that organizations like mine have had to lay off staff, have had to cut hours of existing staff, have had to cut back services or shorten hours of operation. We've had to hold back on paying our own vendors. So small business owners who depend on us to pay them because they catered an event for us or because they printed business cards for us or they did some other activity for which we need to pay them, we can't pay them because the legislature hasn't agreed on a budget so the state can pay us. So the ripple effects from the fact that the legislature and the governor haven't agreed on a budget are really very widespread. They're hitting people who receive services from nonprofits, people who work at nonprofits, and the small business owners who have contracts themselves to do work for nonprofit agencies.
There are probably people in our audience who themselves have been affected by this. What do you say to them?
There certainly are people in your audience who've been affected by this because at this stage of the game, we're all getting affected. The most important thing is that we as citizens have our own voice and our own preferences for how we feel our government should respond to this. So to speak up and share your perspective is critically important, whether that means writing a letter to the editor of the newspaper, whether that means going to visit your legislator or calling them on the phone to express your opinion. If citizens of Pennsylvania have opinions about the services that they receive, that they feel strongly about, or how they prefer that their tax money is spent, now is the time to speak up and tell your legislators and talk to your neighbors and friends about what you value and what you think is important. If you think it's your local library, speak up for your library. If you think it's your local fire company, speak up for your fire company. If you think it's an organization that's providing an arts and culture service or an after-school program or a workforce program like my agency does, this is the time to stand up and say, hey, this is important, and as a citizen and as a resident, I want to speak up for it.
So you're with the Welcoming Center for New Pennsylvanians. Tell us about how this is affecting their clients. Please put us in their shoes.
First of all, we do workforce development work, so we're taking people who are ready and eager to work and connecting them to jobs. One consequence that we've seen of the economic slowdown is that employers, even when they're interested in hiring, are on a slower timeline. So we've actually had job candidates go out, successfully interview, be offered a job, and then have the employer call us back and say, hey, we're going to push that start date back to September 16th. when you have rent to pay and groceries to buy, you can't really go to the Acme and say, hey, I'm going to push my payment for these groceries back to September 16th.
Yeah, right.
And so that's a very immediate consequence for people when the jobs that they depend on to be able to make a living are slowing down and the ability of organizations to hire workers is slowing down because of all these ripple effects in the economy.
Now, if folks want to find out about the Welcoming Center for New Pennsylvanians, do they go to welcomingcenter.org?
That is correct. For more information about the Welcoming Center and the work we do with native-born Americans and with newly arrived legal work-authorized immigrants, check out welcomingcenter.org.
We're talking with Stan Pockris, Executive Director of Nonprofit Technology Resources in Philadelphia. I understand you are also involved in workforce development.
Well, we became a training site for welfare-to-work people last year. We run a computer repair and refurbishing facility. As a nonprofit, we were chosen to take in up to 40 welfare-to-work people to teach them how to help us rebuild the computers.
The reason I would ask a question like that to lead off is that Nonprofit Technology Resources does have other aspects to it, that this program called Tech Ready is just a major part of Nonprofit Technology Resources. Here we have a case of a particular program being imperiled.
Our funding for the Tech Ready program comes through a local organization that provides welfare to work people with training and other programs. They manage a whole variety of work readiness and unemployment services and so on. They decided to invent a computer refurbishing program, and they asked us if we would be interested in participating in that, providing the service. We began last year. They helped us ready our building and hire staff. For the last year, we've been hosting these folks who are pretty much not computer literate, and we're teaching them how to use a computer and how to help us fix the computers and get them ready for resale, and we also give away some computers.
What you said about the building, we're not talking about a few faucets fixed or something. This was a major renovation to your building. It was a heck of an ordeal for you to coordinate all the aspects of having multiple renovation projects going on in one building at the same time and having to do it in a couple of months because of this grant. There's the other aspect that you've hired staff back then. You've been developing them. Now, after a year or so, they're finally getting the hang of how to really do it right. And now, boom! You have to splinter that staff. You have to lay them off.
Well, you tell the whole story. The program started with a renovation project and the purchase of additional equipment and the additions to our staff in order to make it possible for us to serve this clientele. And yes, we went through a fairly extensive renovation of our 12,000 square foot warehouse facility. It was a very big deal for us to move from just being a small refurbishing factory to being a training facility for these folks.
Here you are, the boss of a bunch of people that just got laid off. Please tell us about your feelings. Let us into your pain some, because this represents so many other executive directors.
We have been watching the changes at the state level for several months. In July, we were hoping that the state would quickly complete its budget preparations, and they didn't. And it kept dragging on, and so we had to start thinking what's going to happen and try to put away money for in case the budget problem continues. My pain has been watching the balance in our bank account wither away as each payroll comes, and then having to have staff meetings where we tell people that it's very likely that they would have to go on unemployment, and if they went on unemployment and they started accepting checks, we couldn't pay them for any time they spent here, but if they spend time here working, we will be able to give them their back pay if they don't collect the unemployment monies. It's a very difficult balancing act to try to figure out which of our staff can afford to live on unemployment or live without a salary for a time with the hope at some point in the near future we would be able to provide them back pay. Now, we have been promised by the company through which we're connected to the state that they are going to be able to provide us with back pay for our staff as long as we're working and open. So we've decided to try to stay open at least through the month of August and to see how far into September we can go without actually shutting down the services to the participants in the Tech Ready program. It's been been a balancing act, and that is painful. It's also affected my personal life to some extent because the state budget doesn't include money for college scholarships, so my daughter's college scholarships have been reduced. It's unclear what's going to happen to my son's scholarships because he is starting college this fall and he's going to a state-sponsored institution, and it may be that the scholarships that they've promised us will be withdrawn. It depends on how the budget negotiations come out.
This must have sent you into at least a little bit of a depression at some point. Tell us.
Well, yeah. It's a little hard to talk about being depressed, but yes, I've been walking around feeling very disoriented for the last month or so.
Do you hear that, folks? The pain is all over the place. I know you're feeling pain out there, but think of these executive directors of charities. Think about their employees. Think about the people they serve. So whatever kind of support you can offer your local nonprofit organization, would you please do it? If folks would like to send some support NTR's way, where do they go?
We're at 1524 Brandywine Street in Philadelphia. Our zip code is 19130. If they'd like to see our website, it's ntrweb.org.
That's ntrweb.org. I also want to remind you folks about welcomingcenter.org. Any nonprofit organization near you, if it's in Pennsylvania, it's probably hurting as well. If you could just open up a little more support at this time, they really need it. Now, folks, let's go back to Amanda Bergson-Shocock of the Welcoming Center for New Pennsylvanians. Now that we've heard about this in some detail and how it's affected people, and I hope people in the audience are getting emotionally connected with this as well, they might be going through the same thing themselves. Now it's time to take action. People are now ready to go at it and do something. There's something coming up August 26th, isn't there, that people can do?
There is a really critical opportunity coming up this Wednesday, August 26th at 12 noon at the Delaware County Courthouse in Media. There'll be folks talking about these issues and how they are rippling across our region and our state. Please come out and show your support and speak up and share your voice in terms of how this budget crisis is affecting you and your family. The Media Courthouse is quite accessible by SEPTA. The SEPTA Route 101 trolley runs to Veterans Square, which is just a half a block from the courthouse. And, of course, it's also accessible by car. People, as I said earlier, if you want to speak up and share your perspective on how these issues are affecting your family and your community, you can write a letter to the newspaper, you can talk to your neighbors, you can call your legislator, or you can come out on Wednesday the 26th at 12 noon to an event coordinated by the United Way of Southeastern Pennsylvania to make sure that our state legislators are aware of how urgent the situation is and how urgently it needs to be solved.
Do you have an idea why it's happening at that particular location?
It's important to understand that this is a regional issue. A lot of folks have been saying, this is a Philadelphia problem. I live in Montgomery County. I grew up in Delaware County. A lot of my family works in the nonprofit field and is also based in the suburbs. So when organizations that we work for aren't getting paid, when our salaries are getting cut, those effects are spreading far beyond the city of Philadelphia. And it's really important that our representatives in the state legislature understand that this is not a city issue only. This is an issue that affects all of us.
Again, folks, that's August 26th, 12 noon, at the Delaware County Courthouse. SEPTA gets you right there. Just get off at the Veterans Square stop, just a half a block from that courthouse. It's time to get fired up, folks. If you don't get fired up about this thing now, when are you going to? August 26th, noon, Delaware County Courthouse. What SEPTA route was that?
101. It's the trolley.
101 trolley, Veterans Square. Be there.
Surprise, surprise, we have somebody else who wants to contribute. Carol Miller, the Associate Director of Community Learning Center at 2801 Frankfurt in Philly. She writes, Community Learning Center is a nonprofit adult literacy organization based in Kensington, one of Philadelphia's neediest neighborhoods. Because the state government has not approved a budget for the fiscal year that began July 1st, it appears that we cannot continue to offer a full complement of free classes to deserving community members. We had planned to offer 5 classes beginning in September, organized according to learners' reading levels, 3 in the daytime and 2 in the evenings. It is possible that state funding for adult literacy will be drastically reduced from what the Pennsylvania Department of Education's Bureau of Adult Basic and Literacy Education had initially said we would receive. Consequently, it appears that in September we can offer only 1 class, serving intermediate and GED students. This is devastating. I currently teach the beginners who are native-born U.S. citizens ages 26 to 70, whose skills range from the pre-literate to third grade level. My students are earnest, enthusiastic, and among the most vulnerable members of our community. I am distraught that I will likely have to cancel their class. Our inability to serve the beginning readers, as well as many of those at the intermediate and GED levels, means that we cannot help adults break the cycle of poverty that plagues their families and neighborhoods. The cost of funding adult literacy programs and enabling people to secure education and employment is minuscule compared to the costs associated with poverty and lack of education. Increased drug dealing, dilapidated homes, unemployment, frustration. I am appalled that our legislature has taken a recess while so many of their constituents suffer from the loss of crucial services resulting from the legislature's failure to approve a responsible budget. You're appalled too, aren't you, listener? You want to show up and demonstrate Wednesday, August 26th, noon at the Delaware County Courthouse. This is the end of LifeNet Radio number 530. We'll have this episode archived sometime soon in MP3 and real audio at our website, lifenetradio.org. I hope you'll listen again next week at this time. LifeNet Radio, WCCR, and Rutgers Camden do not necessarily agree with, believe in, or endorse anything you have ever heard this episode.